Take your Bibles, please. Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, we're going to read verses 7 through 10 together. We'll read this passage responsively, and then I'll pray, and we'll be seated and have a special here. But John chapter 10, verses 7 through 10. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but forth to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for what you've done for us. Now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would help us today. Would you please bless the preaching? Would you take the word of God and would you move it, mold it, and put it into our hearts and our minds today so that we could be a better help to you, so that we could grow and be closer to you, and so that we could help others by it. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Let me start off by saying this. I would like for every person in this room to have a happy, fulfilled, enjoyable life. Can I tell you something? God did not make you to be miserable. God did not make you just to survive life. The Bible says that he came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. I've driven by church after church after church, and for years I've seen this statement, series on the abundant life. Folks, you don't need a series on the abundant life. I can teach you today what you need to know in one sermon. It'll revolutionize your life, change your life, turn you inside out, upside down, and help you understand what God wanted. And I want to do just that. Let me be a bit introspective for just a moment, and please don't take this as arrogance, but you'll see where I'm going in just a moment. I've lived a good life. I've been blessed. I grew up in a Christian home. My dad and my mom are here. My dad's a deacon in our church. I got saved when I was just 4.5 years old. I got baptized. I grew up in church. I went to church every time the door squeaked, and usually I was squeaking at both directions, going in, and then when I didn't behave in church, it squeaked going out, amen? And I squeaked while I was out, but I mean this. Somebody recently said, Brother Bush, if you could go back and live your life over, what would you change? I think my answer surprised them. I said, nothing. I would want to live the same life I have lived. Now, I realize some of you would not say that, but I've been spoiled and I would not change anything. I wouldn't change any doctrine. I wouldn't change any philosophies. I wouldn't change any influences. I wouldn't want to change one thing about my life. You say, why? Now, wait a minute. I didn't say it was all sunshine, but I did say I would want the same life. Now, God has planned for each person in this room to have an abundant life. John 10, verse number 10 says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it, that's life, more abundantly. Now, I want you to understand something. That word abundantly doesn't mean just bigger and more of. When you say, I had breakfast abundantly this morning, it doesn't mean necessarily the size of what went into the pie hole, amen? The word abundantly means several forms of. It means there is more than one form of life. Now, listen to me very carefully. God is telling you that he wants you to enjoy life, but he wants you to enjoy it in many different forms. Now, I'm going somewhere. If you will listen to me today, I can teach you what God says. By the way, not what man says, not what this preacher says, but what God says about this thing called abundant life. I need to be just a little teaching this morning to bring you back up to speed to where we need to be on this. There are three types of life here on earth. There are basically three types of life that make up all life here on earth. Let me show you what I mean. There is something called plant life. That means, let me put it this way. You know, a potato could never become a cow. You say, that's stupid, Brother Bush. Well, that proves there is plant life. You know, a potato could never become a dog. Now, wait a minute. You can improve a potato. You can make it taste good. You can change its form. You can mash it. You can fry it. You can cut it and bake it. You can put it in with other things. You can dry it out, petrify it, and call it potato flakes and turn it into bread. You can do all kinds of things with it, but you can never turn a potato into a dog. You can never turn a potato into a steak. Now, you can eat it with a steak, but it will never become a steak. I don't care what they call tofu, amen? Now, wait a minute. You can improve it, but it can never be anything else but a plant. It cannot change forms of life. Does that make sense to everybody? Second of all, you have animal life. Did you know that a cow can never be a man? No, never mind. I better not go there. You know, you can improve a cow. You can make it more disease resistant. You can make it to where it produces more milk, or you can make them to where they have better meat, and you can do all these different things. But did you also know that a cow can never become a monkey? You say, that's foolish. Why do people believe monkeys turned into men? You see, you have plant life. You have animal life. And by the way, you can train a dog, but it can never become a human. You can put sweaters on it. You can put shoes on it. I'm sorry, that's dumb. God gave a dog all the clothes it needs, amen? Good night. If God wanted it born with a sweater, he'd have brought one in with it. Amen. Now, if you do that with your little foofy dog, that's fine. You say, what would you do? Ain't no sissy dog coming into my house. Amen. It just isn't going to happen. If it doesn't growl and bite, go get another one. Dogs are meant to be dogs, not people. Amen. And I'm not against you doll babying up your dogs and all that kind of stuff, but no matter how much you do to it, it can never become a people. Y'all got that? So you have plant life, you have animal life, then lastly, you have human life. Now, I realize you got biological, you have bacterial and those types of things, but all of those fall into these other categories for sake of time. But lastly, you have human life. Human life is the highest form of life. By the way, that's why God said he put man in the Garden of Eden to have dominion over the face of the earth. The word dominion means dominance. God put man on the face of the earth to continue what God set in motion in the running of the earth. All other life forms are to come under the influence and the domination of man. Do you know that you can train any animal? Did you ever go to the zoo or the circus? Man, they got those giant elephants. And they got them doing all kinds of tricks. They can train lions and tigers and bears and all the other. By the way, they can train them all they want. Just give me a gun, I'll train it to do what I want. Amen. Put it on the table. But God made man to dominate and to help run the world. By the way, that proves our government's godless approach to nature is wrong. You know, the reason we have some of the problems we have with wildfires out west today is the fact that our government says man should not run nature, nature should run man. You know, if our government would let us go into these huge national forests and clean up all the dry tinder and all the dead wood and get it cleared out of there, number one, we would have better national forests. Number two, we wouldn't have all the wildfires we have today. Well, we need to leave it pristine as God, or as it was originally intended to be. No, God put man there to clean it up, not be lazy and watch it burn up. Everybody doing okay? Man, man cannot become a flower. Now, some of you might be blooming idiots, but you can't become a flower. Did you know that man cannot become a puppy dog? Now, some of you watch a teenage boy or a college boy, he might look like one, but he's not to be a puppy dog. Now, wait a minute. Man is the highest. And by the way, when I use the word man, I'm including all of mankind, not just men, ladies. Man is the highest type of life here on earth. By the way, you have to be born a plant to be a plant. You have to be born an animal to be an animal. You have to be born a human to be a human. That's real deep, isn't it? That's why God said that man, to become spiritual, must be born again. You have to be born again to become a spiritual man, not just a human being. Now, you have plant life, animal life, human life. Now, here's where we get into the sermon. Listen to me carefully. There are four kinds of life given to human beings. Now listen to me very carefully. God only said there's plants, there's animals, and there are humans. Okay? You knew it was coming, didn't you? There are three types of life, or three forms of life. Then he said to the human being, I'm going to give you four types of life to enjoy. That is exactly what the term abundant life means. Not only do you have your human life, but there are four kinds of life to enjoy as a human being. Let me show you what I mean. There is physical life. Do you know there are things that you are to enjoy as a human being that is physical life? Then there is mental life. Did you know a plant cannot think? Did you know that a plant cannot read? But a human being can. Did you know a plant cannot carry on a conversation? Now, some of you talk to your plants, but they don't talk back. The moment they do, it's time to get up and get out of there. Amen? Brother Taylor, several years ago, he said, God allowed me to win Brother Taylor and get him in church. And he said, now, Brother Bush, he said, you're going to do my funeral. And I was very honored with that. He said, now, just so you know, I'm going to wait till y'all get to the funeral home, and then I'm going to sit up in that casket. I said, Brother Taylor, if you do, you're preaching your own funeral, because I'm out of there. I said, I'm going to tell Browns to put two screws in the end of that thing. Make sure you don't get up out of that thing while I'm talking. Now, wait a minute. There's physical life. There's mental life. There is spiritual life. Did you know that an animal has no spirit? Now, ladies, boys and girls, don't get mad at me. Brother Mark, don't get mad at me. Did you know puppy dogs and kitty cats don't go to heaven? I hate to tell you that. They have no spirit. They have a body and they have a soul. They have no spirit. Now, wait a minute. I'm not for abusing anything, but they don't live eternally. They don't have a spirit that will go somewhere forever. Human beings do. Did you catch that? Human beings do. Now, I realize, according to Scripture, yes, there are animals in heaven. I know there's at least horses there, because God said so. You say, well, does that mean my dog couldn't be there? Yep. Your dog didn't have a soul. I'm sorry. Some of you are going to go home in mourning, and that's okay. I had to put our dog down this year. I understand. I don't enjoy those things. But can I tell you something? Human beings have a soul. They have a spirit. And so you have physical life, mental life, spiritual life, and there is a fourth form or type of life that human beings get to experience that no other life form gets, and that is this: eternal life. Eternal life. So you have plants, animals, and humans. Humans have four other different forms of life they get to enjoy: physical life, mental life, spiritual life, and eternal life. Did you know that the term abundant life literally means this? It's like a buffet. Oh, glory to God. It is a buffet that you get to feast on all four of those types of life at the same time. Did you know that God did not intend for you to be promoted from one part of life to another part of life to another part of life to another part of life? He said abundant life is enjoying all four of those at the same time. Do you know that for you to only live in the physical life, you are only experiencing one-fourth of life? Did you know that to only enjoy the mental part of life, you're only enjoying one-fourth of life? There are some people, they enjoy the physical life, they enjoy the mental life, but they're missing the other half of life. Boy, that's a good statement. By the way, abundant life means this: you enjoy all four of them and not one over the other. Do you know that if you only enjoy one or two parts of life and ignore the other, there is a word that we'll use here, and don't get mad at me for this: you are perverting the life God gave you. You say, well, that person's a pervert. They're emphasizing one part of life over all others. Guess what? I wonder how many Christians in this room, how many people in this room are perverting abundant life. You're only enjoying a portion of what God made you to enjoy. That means this: to live physical life only and ignore the mental, the spiritual, and the eternal, that is perverted. To live the mental life only and ignore the physical, the spiritual, and the eternal, that is perversion. To live the spiritual life only and ignore the physical, the mental, and the eternal is perverted. Now, don't take this in a wrong sense, but you are a pervert in God's view if you choose only one or two forms of life to live and don't experience all four at the same time. Most people only get to the physical life, i.e., look at Hollywood. Hollywood is based on nothing but the physical life. Everybody doing okay? Okay, here we go. By the way, did you know that God wants you to enjoy food? Oh, amen. I've been working hard at losing some weight. I've dropped about 10, 12 pounds. Still got a few I'd like to lose. My wife and I's 25th wedding anniversary was this week, and I took her out of town, locally out of town, but out of town this week, and spent a day and a half away. We went to Outback while we were gone. I thought, man, we love those, you know, those blooming onions. Those are that the Greek interpretation of that is manna. Okay, angels' food. I love those things. I'll be hanged. I got one of those things. We ate the whole thing. Let me correct that. I think I ate the whole thing. Oh, my soul. You say, why? Because it was good. You say, you ate the whole thing? Yeah, kind of like the old commercial. Can't believe I ate the whole thing. Amen? Now, wait a minute. Did you know that God wants you to enjoy that, but that's not what you should live for? Yes. You know, at the same time, I wasn't there just to eat. I was there to have time with my wife and enjoy some mental life as well. Also some spiritual life. And realize we're part of eternal life. We were to enjoy all four forms of it at the same time. Boy, that's good stuff. I want to look at these four forms of the abundant life today. Let's break it down. Give me about 22, 23 minutes, and I'll if I'm not done, I'll crash land the plane. Amen. Number one, God wants you to enjoy the physical life, but not exclusively. Folks, if you only live one part of life, in God's view, it's perversion. It's perversion. Did you know that God wants you to enjoy marriage? Young people, listen to me. And I'm not the authority here as far as having the most experience. I think, Brother and Mrs. Brining, your 52nd wedding anniversary is coming up. My mom and dad passed it. They're working on 53, if mom doesn't kill dad before then. good night. My wife and I just passed 25 years. Can I tell you something? There is more to being married than, and I'm going to use this term appropriately, parents, there's more to being married than just the physical part of marriage. There's more to being married than holding hands and kissing and hugging. There's a whole lot more to marriage than that. Now, that's a good part of it. But can I tell you something? Some of you are going to base a marriage off of that, and it will not last. Did you catch that? You better find out if she can cook. You know, there's a lot of pretty faces in divorce court. Isn't it amazing how many people in Hollywood can't stay married? Everybody doing okay? There must be more to marriage than just the physical part of marriage. Boy, that's a good statement. A marriage based on the physical only will not last. By the way, I'm going to make a statement here. This might make some of you mad. Did you know that there's more to marriage than just the mental part of marriage? Do you know that a marriage only based on mentality and not the physical and the spiritual and the eternal will not last either? You know, I know there's a lot of smart people that get divorces too. Everybody doing all right? Now, you wanted to say amen to the other. Keep on going here. See, God wants you to enjoy the physical things of life. Did you know that God wants you to enjoy food? Did you know that God wants you to enjoy nature? Did you know that God wanted you to enjoy sports? You know that God wanted you to enjoy the sunrise? Brother Hawkins, that happens early in the morning, all right? Your wife's told you about it, but I just want you to know from me, all right? Early in the morning. God wants you to enjoy a sunset. You know, what's wrong with enjoying God's nature? Do you know, I'm going to reveal a secret here. My wife and I, if we got what we personally wanted, we'd live in a log cabin on the backside of the mountain where there was about 20 miles between us and the closest neighbor, and I could hunt, kill, and grow everything that we eat. And that I never have to talk to another human being again. I know that sounds funny to you, but that is the ideal life to me. You say, oh, not me. I want the big city. You can have all the big city you want. I've been an assistant pastor in the Los Angeles County area. I was an assistant pastor and went to college in the Chicago area. I've been to New York City. I've preached in Atlanta. I've preached in all the big cities of our country. Guess what? I don't care if I ever see the big city again. Who wants D.C. and Baltimore? God have mercy. Now, wait a minute. Some people, oh, I'm going on vacation. I'm going to New York City. I said, vacation? That's Hades. That's not vacation. I have preached in New York City. I've preached all over New Jersey and that area. And God knows, I don't mind going there to visit, but I don't even like it anymore. I just don't like the big city. I you say, well, look at all the big, beautiful buildings. There is not a big city in America that's beautiful. Dirty, filthy, nasty, stinky, rude people. Man, you give me Martinsburg any day, amen. Give me Georgetown, Glengarry, Inwood. Give me all this area. You know, I can get away from them eventually. I can throw a bone or half a deer out the window and watch them scatter for it and get away from them, amen. Good night. I couldn't even hunt in the big city. My wife and I could enjoy, our idea of heaven is going to be side-by-side cabins in heaven, amen? That's just the way it's going to be. You say, why? Because that's what we would enjoy in the physical life. I enjoy nature. I love watching deer. I love watching the birds and all the different critters out there. You say, why? Because God gave those things. You know, I enjoy flowers. I enjoy smelling them, planting them. I enjoy my garden. I enjoy all my flowers and things and my plants that I have. I enjoy my yard. I don't enjoy mowing when it's 130 degrees outside, but I still enjoy it. Amen? Now, wait a minute. God does not only, though, want you to enjoy those things. That is only one part of life. Now, we live in a society that lives by this philosophy. If it feels good, do it. That's a physical life only. That is physical life only. Did you know that God wants you to enjoy pizza? He wants you to enjoy steak, biscuits and gravy, mushrooms, gravy. Let's pray and go home. He wants you to enjoy all those things as well as your vegetables. Yeah. Now, wait a minute. There are people who will deny themselves of physical pleasure in their mind to prove they are spiritual. And God said they're perverted. Now, don't get mad at me. I'm going to make a statement here. You take the nuns and the monks who deny themselves of all the physical pleasures of life. By the way, the priests and the popes. Oh, we're going to prove how spiritual we are and deny ourselves the physical life in many areas to prove how spiritual we are. And that's why they are not fulfilling the abundant life. Number two, God wants you to enjoy the physical life. Number two, God wants you to enjoy the mental life, but not exclusively. Did you catch that? I love words. I love thinking. I enjoy good conversation, mentally stimulating conversation. I enjoy it. I've got a pretty good vocabulary. I'm not the smartest person in the room. I've got a decent IQ. I've taken the IQ test twice. One time it was 129, the other time it was 130. I have no idea necessarily what all that means. I know it's a little above average. I don't know how much above average. I don't put a whole lot of stock in those things. But I've got a pretty good grasp of the English language. I have a pretty good ability to think. Now, wait a minute. I've written a book. I think if I got what I wanted mentally, I could just sit down and study and write the rest of my life, and I probably could enjoy a lot of that. I really could. I think I could write some books that would help people understand the Bible and be theological, so to speak, and I think I could enjoy that. But can I tell you something? People that do nothing but that aren't experiencing the abundant life. Did you catch that? That's only enjoying one part of life. By the way, that's why most theologians are perverted. They're going deep in the Word, but they quit going soul winning. That means they're only experiencing one part of life and one at the expense of all the others, and that's why it's wrong. Everybody doing okay? If all you do is read your Bible and study your Bible and write biblical theses of what the Bible you think the Bible says, and you don't take this book out and tell some lost sinner how to go to heaven when you die, that's not God's plan. Boy, that's good. The abundant life is not just the ability to think. It's not just a mental life. I make myself enjoy physical labor. I spend a lot of time in the Bible. I spend a lot of time working on sermons for this church. I spend a lot of time with paperwork. Do you know that I force myself to enjoy the physical life? I love mowing my grass. I really do. You say, why? Because I don't get to do some of the physical work that some of you men do. I enjoy cutting wood. Now, I hate it when it's 100 degrees outside, but I still do it anyway, amen? I enjoy it. There's something good about physical labor. Levi doesn't enjoy weed whacking as much when he hits a hornet's nest, amen, Brother Bob? Oh, my soul. I enjoy my garden. Man, I had fun yesterday. I was picking cucumbers and green beans and working in my garden for a little while yesterday. And I enjoy some of that in my life. But can I tell you something? I can't do that my whole life. That's not an abundant life. The abundant life is enjoying the physical, enjoying the mental. You know, God says he wants you to enjoy meditation. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of thy mind be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my God and my Redeemer. Everybody doing okay? When's the last time you took time to meditate? God wants you to enjoy good music, thought-provoking music, good books. I'm just going to go ahead and say this here. Books, not eye readers. Education, loyalty, poetry, thinking, philosophy, hospitality, humor, personality, reflection, gratitude, courtesy. Those are all part of the mental life. You know, our country is rude. Can I tell you why we're rude? Because we don't think about anybody but ourselves. You know, you have to think to be courteous. It does not come naturally. Everybody doing all right? It used to be when a man held the door for a lady, number one, he would do it. Number two, it used to be when you did it, the lady didn't look at you and say, what are you doing that for? I can do it myself. Those are the kind that as they walk through, I want to go, what happened to thank you? See, it takes courtesy on both sides of that, just so you know. You know, we live in a perverted society. You say, why? The answer to everything in our society today is education is the answer to all. That is mental life only. Listen to the following statement. I wrote it down. I'll read it so that you don't get mad at me for doing it on the fly. This educated society is a dope-smoking, booze-drinking, sodomite, immoral, God-rejecting, bankrupt, communist society. But education is the answer to it all. Did you catch that? Man has started worshiping his own mind into believing education is the answer to everything. By the way, I'm for education. I've been a Christian school principal almost 20 years of my life. Trust me, I have educated more people than any human being in this room and probably all of you put together. I believe in education. I believe in reading, writing, mathematics, real mathematics, not modern, not Common Core. I believe in real history, not the rewritten stuff. I believe in all those things. I believe in education based on truth. Oh, education is the answer to everything. Yeah. Dope smoking, drunkenness, sodomite. Listen to this statement. The highest percentage of sodomites in America are in the college campuses of America today. Check it out. We live in a world of instant access to information. I'm about to throw a fit here, so hang on to your cell phones. Your cell phones, your computers, your laptops, and your iPads and your tablets have ruined the thinking of America. You know, you say, No, it hasn't. It's made life more convenient. How many phone numbers do you have memorized? I used to have hundreds of phone numbers memorized. Shoot, I don't memorize phone numbers anymore because they're all on my cell phone. I don't have to memorize them. And it's made me a lazy thinker. Y'all remember that? Okay. You used to read books, not just look up on Google or your search engine what you were looking for and have it come up automatically. It used to be you had to plow through the library and get about 15 books, stack it up and start reading and find what you need out of each and every one of them, put it all together and make it happen. Young people, that's called work, not Wikipedia. You know, you used to study in libraries. Wow. Everybody look at me for just a second. Do you know that there used to be a time in America where you waited on the mailman to bring information to you from people that you knew? You didn't have instant access, FaceTime, email, iMail, and Facebook and Pinterest. Some of you know what's going on as it's going on. Listen to this statement, and it has ruined your ability to think. America was a whole lot better in World War II, World War I, and the Civil War, and the Revolutionary War, when the press wasn't there with video cameras showing us live what was going on. That's why in the 1950s during Korea, the 1960s during Vietnam, and every war since, America has started going against war because they're starting to see what war really is. Everybody doing all right? I might as well get the ladies really mad at me. Just because you use this does not mean I'm preaching against you, but it's a good illustration. Somebody once said, "Well, Brother Bush, I'm not as creative as you." No, you just don't think. There was a day before Pinterest, you got ideas by sitting down and thinking. Okay, moving on. So, God wants you to enjoy the physical life. He wants you to enjoy the mental life, but not exclusively. Number three, God wants you to enjoy the spiritual life, but not exclusively. You say, that sounds strange coming from a preacher. I know. You know, God wants you to enjoy church. I believe that. God wants you to enjoy prayer. Prayer should not be such a bad, laborious thing. God made it for you to talk to God. Why is it that we think it's so hard to talk to God? Oh, I labored in prayer. You know, I never labor to talk to my wife. I don't labor to talk to my daughter or to my sons. I don't labor to talk to you. Why should we have to labor to talk to God? You know, we're supposed to enjoy sermons. Now, I realize every once in a while I'm going to lay an egg big enough to hatch twin dinosaurs. But we're still supposed to enjoy the truth of sermons. Do you know that your preacher listens to preaching just about every day of his life? I had Brother Hyle screaming at me twice this morning. Say why? Because I need preaching and I'm a preacher. By the way, when I stand behind this pulpit, I'm preaching to me as much as I am to you. You might not enjoy it, but I'm having the time of my life. Say why? Because I've had three coffees today. Now, wait a minute. God wants you to enjoy the Bible, but not the Bible only. If all you do is read your Bible, but you never take what you learn from it and help anybody with it, what good was it? You know, God wants you to enjoy the power of God and the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. These healers, feelers, and squealers that flip and flop and do whatever on the floor and say, "Oh, I got it. They didn't get it. They're only enjoying one part of that. They're going to say you need to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost to prove that you're saved. Can I tell you something? That doesn't prove anything. You're supposed to enjoy watching God work. Yes, you are. I love seeing God work in people's lives. I love seeing the Holy Spirit meet people's needs, comfort, and give power and strength. Can I tell you something? That's only one part of it, though. You know, God wants you to enjoy the special musics that we have around here. You know, there's nothing wrong with you saying amen. Nothing wrong with you shouting, hollering amen, waving your hand, whatever. That's fine. Don't get carried away. Don't make everybody laugh at you while you're doing it. I love the song Hannah sang this morning. Some of you just sitting there talking to each other, not listening to it. But I was enjoying it. You say, why? Because I'm going to enjoy the spiritual life. Yeah. But by the way, there used to be a statement, you can be so spiritually minded, you're no earthly good. There is a truth to that. You're not enjoying the abundant life. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. Go ahead and get mad at me. I believe, listen to me, if someday we start a Christian school, I believe a higher percentage of our kids will one day go into the ministry. Yes, I do. But I do not believe every one of our children should go into the ministry. Do you know if everybody were preachers, there's nobody to preach to? God didn't call everybody to be preachers and preachers' wives and missionaries. I think those that grow up in church are going to have a higher percentage of it. I got two boys in Bible college. One's going into the ministry, and one's probably not. I'm just as proud of both of them. Did you catch that? Both of them. I don't want mama called papa sent preachers in the pulpit because they're the ones ruining churches. They're raping people spiritually because they're not doing what God made them to do. Well, I don't want to put my kid in a Christian school because I don't want him to feel the pressure to go in the ministry. Oh, poppycock. Quit copping out. Maybe it is you need to surrender to God and let God have control of the life instead of you. Fourthly, and I got to hurry, God wants you to enjoy the eternal life, but not exclusively. Now listen to this. Do you realize that most people, listen to this statement, most people spend their life trying to avoid things that never die. Most people on the face of this earth spend their life trying to avoid eternal life. Our whole society is based on only looking at now, not the eternal. Oh, and by the way, I've already said enough to get in trouble. What's one more thing? Amen? Folks, I'm for having as good a quality of life as you can, but eventually you're going to die. You are not so healthy that you'll never die. I'm for you spending money at the doctor. Make sure you tithe first. No. I'm for all that. I don't care if you enjoy going to the doctor or the nutritionist. If you want to eat tree bark and drink swamp water and think you're healthy, God bless you. If you believe you got to take a pill to get up and take a pill to go down, God bless you. Don't get addicted to any of it. But may I say this, why are you trying to prolong that which you cannot avoid? Grandma's 96. We're facing the latter days of her life. Can I tell you something? She's going to go to heaven one of these days. Why are we so worried about it? Guess what? She's going to heaven. Glory to God. We talked about it yesterday. Can I tell you something? Why is it that we want to spend so much time trying to avoid the eternal? Our whole world is based on now. Oh, you got to have health food. You got to have organic food. You've got to have medicine. We've got to save the environment. We've got to go green or we're going to burn up in the next 300 years. Folks, you'll be gone anyway. Listen to all these words when they talk about green stuff. Could, might, possibly, we think. Hello. That's a wonderful thing to base science on. It's funny. When I was growing up, they were talking about a second ice age. Now they're talking about global warming. When my grandkids get in school, they'll talk about the ice age again because of global warming. Boy, that makes real sense. We're going to freeze because of all the heat. I think somebody's been smoking something and not telling you. we can't use plastics. We've got to get rid of all this plastic. It will not decompose. It does not break down in the earth. Let me ask you a question. Where did they get the material for the plastic anyway? It came from the earth. It was there all along. Shazam. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Why is it that we're so worried about now and not thinking about the eternal? You know, soul winning is something you can do that is eternal. Going out and telling somebody how they can know for sure they're going to heaven, they bow their head, trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, 10 million years from now, that person will be in heaven. They won't care how big the buck was hanging on the wall. Now I got one hanging on the wall in the office, praise the Lord. But guess what? That's not eternal. I already had it. Amen? But may I say this? The dozen or so folks that got saved this week, that's eternal. I'll take that any day. Did you know that according to that book right there, that book is eternal? You know that that book was written in heaven before man was ever created? Man didn't write it, God did. Did you know that when this world is destroyed and remade and we're in heaven, the new earth, that book will still be there and Jesus himself will teach it? Hey, that book's eternal. Why avoid it? We've kicked it out of our public schools. We've kicked it out of our government and wonder why we are what we are. Did you know that God is eternal? Yeah, I said it. Did you know that Jesus Christ is eternal? Did you know that the Holy Spirit is eternal? By the way, start coming on Wednesday nights. I'm starting a new series starting this Wednesday. We just finished up on the series on wisdom. I'm going to start a whole series on the Holy Spirit. Say, are you one of those weird people? Nope. I'm a Bible person. You know that praise is eternal? Did you know some of you are going to spend the first years in heaven going through withdrawals over the fact that there's no television there? No Facebook? No cell phones? You're going to have to praise God. Some of you better learn to do it here because you're going to do it there forever. Some of you better learn how to shout now, amen? Some of you ought to learn how to worship. By the way, we don't have public worship services. It doesn't say public worship out there. It says preaching, church, amen? Worship, that's telling God how good he is and why he's good. He's love, he's power, he's just, he's true, he's eternal. He's all powerful. Hey, that's worship. Some of you better get used to that because whatever you did earn, you're going to cast it at his feet and feel awfully humbled. Did you know that in heaven, listen to this. I can't wait for some of you old grouches. Did you know that in heaven, you're going to have to live in eternity with people that you don't want to get along with here? Some of you can't get along with other Christians. Guess what? You're going to have to in heaven. He said, but you don't understand what they did to me. Oh, poor widow baby. Come over here, let me pat you on the back and burp you too. Folks, if you only knew. You say, well, somebody said something mean to me. Oh, I'm so sorry. And you think they've never said anything mean about me? Well, somebody ignored me. No. Shoot, I can go anywhere in this county and people turn their nose up and walk away. I can go anywhere in the country, open up that book, pull it out, and I can have a seat anywhere I want because, man, they scatter. Best way in the world to get a seat at the airport, open up your Bible. Man, there's people getting out of the way. Can I tell you something? Some of you are going to have to learn how to get along with each other. Folks, the abundant life. There's plant life, animal life, human life. But involved in human life, God wants you to have a balance. God wants you to enjoy the physical life. By the way, some of you super duper spiritual people, I'm for going soul winning, and after you're done going soul winning, go have lunch, amen? Nothing wrong with it, but there's some of you, all you do is have lunch and don't go soul winning. There's more to lunch than just food. There's the spiritual life as well as the physical life. There's also a mental life. Some of you need to get off your blessed assurance. Start using that thing underneath the lid of your head called your brain. Start thinking. Some of you are living a perverted life. Some of you are living your life to avoid the eternal. Watch it, fleshly one. You're avoiding the mental, the spiritual, and the eternal part of life. Watch it, brainiac. Don't miss the physical, the spiritual, and the eternal. Watch it, spiritual one. Don't miss the physical, the mental, and the eternal. Watch it, eternal one. Don't miss the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. God does not intend you to go from physical to mental to spiritual to eternal. God intends for you to enjoy all four at the same time. That is the abundant life. I am come that you might have life, that's human life, and that you might have life more abundantly. Ooh, that's physical, mental, spiritual, and eternal life, all at the same time. God doesn't want you just to be the humdrum lost human being. He wants you to enjoy the abundant life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. To enjoy that, one must know for sure they're going to heaven when they die. That means being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. Who would say, Brother Bush, if I died today, I am 100% sure I'd go to heaven when I die? Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who would say, Preacher, I couldn't raise my hand. If I died today, I'm not sure. I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out. I won't do any more to you than I did to those that just raised their hand. But who would say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who would say, Preacher, there's part of that abundant life I haven't been hitting, but I sure would like to. There's a need in my life in one or more of those areas. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of hands. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. The music will begin to play at that time. If you need to leave your seat, some of you need to come to this altar and make a commitment to God. Some of you need to do something in your life. Some of you are just enduring life. You're not enjoying life. Can I tell you why you're perverted? You're only enjoying one part of it or two. I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly.